Welcome to the House Geeks Real Estate Show, sponsored by Bricks Real Estate. I'm Kirk Duckwall. Joining me is Chad Vandelot and Renee Duncan. Thank you for coming in again today for your second out of 100 straight shows. You're going to be joining us. Today, we're going to be talking about building your real estate team. If you have any questions for us, give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Also, follow us on our Facebook page by typing in House Geeks. Look for the little house and glasses. And just follow us on housegeeks.com for the latest and greatest home searching and researching tools. Going to be continuing to add more great resources to that site soon to come as well. So talking about building your real estate team, your team, not so much for agents, but for home buyers and home sellers, who do you need? What are the people that you're going to need to move forward in this process? A lot of people will just go, okay, I'm gonna go get a real estate agent, or I'm going to go shop for a mortgage. You know, well, there's a lot of people that are going to take part in this transaction. And the more you can have it lined up and set up, and some, real estate agents, real estate brokers, they may already have a team that's kind of pre-built for you. So you can feel that out. And we're going to be discussing the pros and cons of that as well. Mm-hmm. So basically, just a quick breakdown of what a just general team might look like when you get ready to move forward into a transaction. You're going to want to have a real estate agent. You're going to want to have a loan officer.
This is if you're buying a home.
Yes, if you're buying a loan officer, you will want to make sure that they have a relationship with a title company, or you have a relationship with a title company. I've definitely run across home buyers and sellers that have had past experiences and want to work with somebody again on the title side. And then a inspector. This is a one kind of, we'll get into a little bit more in depth, but, it's okay to have that person picked out before you find a house. A lot of times people don't, but, your time is pretty limited from when you put in the contract to when the inspection contingency expires. So to not have that figured out, how you want to move forward with it. Once again, a lot of teams, brokers will have people that they'll suggest. Another one that kind of gets pushed to the side is contractor contacts, because a lot of people look at homes that may need a little work done to them, and they then, to feel comfortable with moving forward making an offer, we'll need some general numbers of what it may cost to do some of these projects. And if we once again wait until you get to that house to figure that out, you may cost yourself the time needed. I mean, I can't even think this last weekend, even with the snowstorm, how many homes you looked at the remarks and it was highest and best due by four, highest and best due by seven. I mean, Renee, I think every one you helped with this weekend was a highest and best due by. I was out driving in the blizzard.
I thought this would be the best weekend to be out with buyers, because I didn't think we were going to run into that. But I think everybody else was thinking the same thing as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, they found the four-wheel drive vehicles and went house hunting. So you need to be able to act fast. To act fast, you need to have your ducks in a row. So putting together this transaction team, or at least having this discussion with your agent, with your loan officer, because usually we're a first point of contact. And there are people that don't have, there are plenty of agents that don't have these teams pre-built. They're just like, you work on picking the loan officer. Here's a couple I've used in the past. That maybe they just don't do the transaction level to have those relationships in place. So, and if that's the person you choose to work with, then you will need to be prepared and build this team out.
And so most full-time agents that have been in the business for a little while and do a fair amount of business will have preferred lenders and preferred title companies of which they have experience working with and experience working with efficiently. Where that becomes important is there tends to be efficient communication amongst all members of the team, and there's clear expectations on all sides.
So is that where you were going to go?
Well, pretty much, I was just going to say it's something to factor in when you're interviewing agents is to ask them, you know, who do they already have relationships with to make the process as smooth as possible. And some people won't have many relationships. And maybe if you're on a tight deadline for moving or buying, or you have specific concerns, like you know you want to buy a house to flip and you're going to need certain kinds of contractors, factor that in when you're interviewing the agent because that'll make the whole process much easier.
You know, and I like, you know, I've learned that, you know, I've always been a big fan of the building out the team. But the thing that I learned over time was to be flexible with it, because maybe you do have the loan officer, the title company, the inspector that they don't have, but they have, the title, or they have a piece of the pie, mm-hmm. and being willing to be flexible and allowing them to insert the person of choice and not just be like, oh, it's going to work most efficiently if you go this route, you know, is to be able to work well with others. It's a good way to approach that. So let's get on to the, you know, how to potentially pick an agent. As what should you look at in that part? And so the first thing I put down was,
Kirk, should I hire Aunt Patty as my agent?
Well, why? What gives Aunt Patty the qualifications, Chad?
Well, she's my mom's sister, and yeah, she's my mom's sister.
Is she a full-time real estate agent?
You know, I don't know. We don't really talk. I haven't seen Aunt Patty. I see her on Christmas and Easter primarily. So yeah, I'll have to call her up. What else should I do?
So you don't see her that often. Does she work in the Twin Cities metro area as her primary area of focus?
Oh no, I think she's down a little southeast by Hastings more so.
So, you know, this is getting to there's a lot of people that are licensed in the state of Minnesota. And, you know, when you look at the amount of part-time agents out there and you look at the turnover rate, you know, is this a hobby job? Is it a hobby for this person to be handling one of the biggest financial transactions? Is this person not available to set up, you know, I mean, one of the reasons we have the team the way we do is in that scenario where I might be out running a showing or having an appointment, you know, Chad or Renee could go pick up and help and facilitate that showing and still keep the conversations going about offers and everything and not having any lag, because that is a huge problem right now. I got a call yesterday from somebody who saw one of our Zillow advertisements, and it was not for our listing, but, you know, just one of the properties we were showing up on. And he's like, I can't reach my agent. I haven't heard from him in a couple of days, and we submitted an offer, and I would like to know what's going on with it. And, you know, I had to kind of give him direction of how to deal with that. But it's, you know, they're sick or they, whatever might be happening, they need to really provide the ability to be somebody to be reached, somebody to facilitate showings. Otherwise you're going to lose potential properties that you're making offers on. You know, you want to make offers on.
Absolutely. But thankfully in today's marketplace, there's pretty clear transparency. If you go on Zillow and search by an area, you start to notice what agents pop up. And you can go through and look at their reviews, see their past sales. Are they doing, you know, too many transactions where they might not have time for you?
Well, that gets into a real good point. I want to stop you right there. Is okay, so an agent's number of transactions is not really necessarily a fair way to gauge how good an agent they are. Okay. I think there are a lot of great agents that do between 12 and 25 transactions every year, mm-hmm. and will provide wonderful service and be available for communication. I do get worried when it's under that 12 because they, you know, what is their experience level in the type of housing where you're looking when the transaction numbers drop? I mean, a market is something you need to be out feeling every day, you mm-hmm. know? That's, now, it's different when they're working, you know, you have a lower transactional, newer agent that maybe is working in a team. Then they have somebody to bounce off of and work off of. That's a little different than, you know, somebody on their own part-time. Are they going to be able to feel this out? We actually need to take a commercial break. I have so much more on this topic, I'm sure, as you can imagine, to get to. Talking about reviews, a little bit more about the sales. So I mentioned the downfall of the low sales, but let's start talking about the high sales and the things that that can potentially cause as well. If you have any questions for us, give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Check us out online at housegeeks.com. Follow us on our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
Is it time to downsize but don't know where to start? Give the House Geeks with Bricks Real Estate a call. We're experienced in making this process as easy as possible. Whether it is help with pricing your home, assistance in finding movers, or any of the other professionals you might need to get your home sold, we're here for you. Take the worry away by giving us a call today at 612-207-5388. That's 612-207-5388 or online anytime at housegeeks.com.
The Spring St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, will be running April 27th, 28th, and 29th. This is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you'll have the chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artist studios, lofts, and galleries. Hosting over 350 artists, up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The Art Crawl sprawls over 34 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for you to own. When you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community with free transit passes. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at thestpaulartcrawl.org. That's thestpaulartcrawl.org.
Real estate is one of the biggest financial transactions most people ever make. So keep informed. Tune in each week as Bricks Real Estate presents the Twin Cities Real Estate Show, Sundays starting at noon. Kirk Duckwall, Chad Vandelot, and Brian Durham, the House Geeks, will keep you up to date with industry-leading guests, stats, and local market trends. Again, you can catch them Sundays starting at noon on this station or online anytime through the House Geeks Facebook page.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together, we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Network Title knows it's the little things that make big things happen, like protecting homebuyers from title defects. As an independently owned and operated full-service title company, we specialize in all the important details. We come to where you want to close, even nights or weekends. We'll even bring fresh baked cookies. Network Title, stress-free closings since 1993. Work with a company that puts you first. For details, go to network-title.com or give us a call at 651-482-9514.
Welcome Welcome back to the House Geeks Real Estate Show on AM 950. If you have any questions for us looking at buying or selling a home or just general real estate questions, you can give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Follow us on our Facebook page as well. Just type in House Geeks, look for the little house and glasses. Check out our website, housegeeks.com. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Renee, for building that awesome website. And we're going to keep adding some improvements to it, make it easier to get market assessments for your home if you're looking to make a move, and keep adding great videos to it. So today we're talking about building your real estate team. So this can make your transaction as easy as possible. I'm discussing right now in the selection of looking for a real estate agent or real estate agent and their team as you're out there. And you brought up a great point, Chad, with looking at total number of sales and how that's not always a great way to gauge. I mean, so often we see, you know, people promoting themselves just based on the number of sales that they do. Well, you know what? Walmart does a ton of sales, but are they necessarily always the best at customer service? You know, so let's take that into consideration, you know, that sometimes, you know, not the best customer service and sometimes the lowest prices. So for as a seller, you might not want that mentality, right? So you want somebody to be able to put time into, whether you're buying or selling, put time into you and your specific transaction. And to do this, it goes back to having that well-built out team and to be aware of what is, how many is too much, you know? So you look at some of these teams out there with 300, 600 sales. I guarantee you that it is not themselves running every buyer or dealing with every listing. It typically is assignments to agents farther down the chain. So, you know, when you see teams that are self-promotional in the, I'm the person, nobody named specifically, that the...
say I'm John Jones' team, and I have 400 sales. And I'm looking at that and see, as a consumer, thinking, oh my gosh, John Jones does a ton of business. He must really know what he's doing. Well, the likelihood of me actually working with John Jones, if he is doing 400 sales per year, is, you know, a little, significantly less. Nobody has time to do 400 sales a year.
Right. So you want to gauge it as, okay, well, okay, maybe I'm not working with this person, and is that okay with me? And then it's, what is their team and what is that experience level? Who is there to help me and how are they going to help me? And what is the value that they're going to provide, right? So analyzing these teams appropriately, it kind of goes back to just looking at sales alone is not a great way to gauge it.
But then again, if they're only doing five a year,
yeah,
you know, I would personally have a hard time keeping a pulse, having my finger on the pulse of the market if I was doing five a year, the way things are so fast and changing.
I honestly get most worried at under 12, or over 30 without support staff.
Sure.
Right? Somebody who's doing more than 30 transactions a year and does not have somebody helping with contract preparation or helping with showings or helping with a piece of that process, they are going to be so busy that things may fall by the wayside, or, you know, that's what I see and what I have seen out there. So that's kind of the marks. And so, you know, is the person you are working with directly, make sure they have the staffing level to assist if they're over those marks.
And well, again, when you're evaluating agents, Zillow is one of the great places to look them up. You'll see their previous sales, you'll see past reviews. You can actually read through those reviews and get an idea, you know, do they respond quickly to phone calls? Do they respond quickly to emails? Are they available at most times? Or if they're not available, do they have somebody that can be available? And you can very quickly get an idea of the service that any most particular agents do provide.
And that touches on one concern that I hear a lot, especially from first-time homebuyers. Some of them think they don't know what to expect from a realtor. They're thinking maybe you're 8 to 5, maybe they shouldn't call you at 8 p.m. or 11 p.m.
They shouldn't.
And for some agents, they will have a certain schedule set up, but you should know that ahead of time. They should set expectations ahead of time. But other than that, if you're in the middle of a deal, in the middle of an offer, your agent should be available, or they should have someone that is available to you.
Somebody who's aware of the transaction that knows what's going on, available for contact. And that actually, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit on here, which is an agent should be a main point of contact. Mm-hmm. If you cannot reach the title company because you have a question, if you cannot reach your loan officer because you have a question, if you cannot reach the inspector because you have a question, the agent should always be a main point of contact. And you should freely be willing to use that if you're not reaching the intended person. Now, do I know everything about the loan and what's going on? Do I know everything about where things are at with title and closing and all the numbers? No, but can I figure it out? Yes. Right?
And
so
building on that, Kirk, when agents have other members of the team, like a loan officers and title companies that they've worked with in the past, it's more likely that the agent can get a hold of that title person, say, at 8 o'clock at night if something does come up, or the loan officer at 8 or 9 if they have more of a personal relationship,
right,
a business and personal relationship. They're more likely to receive those calls.
And, you know, a lot depends on who the title company is and who the lending institution is that you're trying to reach. And we'll get into that a little bit more.
But accessibility is one of the key components when I'm trying to figure out which title companies I want to recommend. Accessibility is a huge component when I'm figuring out which loan officers I want to recommend. Inspectors too. Accessibility to the inspector is a big deal. They're wanting shorter and shorter inspection periods. And if you can't get that inspector on the phone to answer questions about what came up in the report and the how extensive it is to correct that, and you're under a timeline to get this done, or the contract defaults to certain things, being able to reach those particular individuals of the team on a given at any given time is pretty crucial.
Yeah, it is what makes something come together quickly, is that communication. Mm-hmm. Well, coming up on another commercial break, you know, I wanted to touch on, you know, scope of knowledge that the agent has. You know, is this somebody that's going to be flexible, as you tend as a buyer to be flexible in your thinking? And so, you know, you do run across the quote unquote specialty agents, you know, oh, serving Mac Groveland neighborhood in St. Paul for 22 years. Well, what happens when you go, yep, I'm going to Longfellow? Mm-hmm. You know, what happens when, you know what, I want more house for the money, I'm going out to Eden Prairie? You know, building out the, making sure you have an agent that can move with you as you make the shifts, I think is very important.
And that goes to the tools that the agent has access to and their ability to analyze
and to use them. Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, kind of get off the agent piece of it and get into, you know, some of the other people and how to investigate them. All right, we'll be right back. Hi, this is Kirk Duckwall from the Twin Cities Real Estate Show. As many of you may know, home values are up for the fifth straight year in our area. Are you now thinking about selling and curious what your home is worth in today's seller's market? Then check out HouseGeeks.com. At HouseGeeks.com, you will find the best free home evaluation tools in the Twin Cities. You will also find many other great resources for tracking our market or just your local neighborhood. Again, that is at HouseGeeks.com.
Lowry Hill Meats, your neighborhood full-service butcher shop that works directly with family farms. Using whole animals gives Lowry Hill Meats the benefit of preparing custom cuts and dry aging. They offer beef, lamb, goat, pork, and poultry, including whole duck, roasting hens, turkey, quail, pheasant, and Cornish hens. Their sausages are made fresh in-house weekly using 40 rotating recipes. Try their handcrafted sandwiches. They are second to none. Lowry Hill Meats is located at 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis or online at lowryhillmeats.com.
Attention real estate agents and homeowners. Did you know that even in a strong market, you can increase your sale price and shorten your time on the market? Check out Summit Staging today and see how many of their staged listings sell for thousands of dollars more than the other comparable homes in the area. With a pay only if it sells pricing, you have nothing to lose. Visit them online at summitstagingllc.com. That's summitstagingllc.com.
At Warner's Deli, we love appliances and our customers. They demand the best, and we wouldn't have it any other way. In appreciation, we put hundreds of appliances on sale at our lowest price, which we guarantee. Now through April 30th, choose from laundry pairs, dishwashers, French door refrigerators, grills, and more kitchen suites than you can count, all at our guaranteed lowest price. Our trusted delivery and installation specialists will get your appliances delivered and installed fast and right. We're Warner's Deli, Minnesota's appliance specialists.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 on Monday mornings at 7:30. This Monday, I'll talk about Linda Brown, the Brown of what may be the most famous Supreme Court case of all time, Brown versus Board of Education. Linda died recently, giving us reason to pause about her legacy as an idealist and as a symbol of what's right about America. Tune in to learn more. I've got a vision of a better world where everyone has a place at the table. Ellie 2.0 on AM 950.
Network Title knows it's the little things that make big things happen, like protecting home buyers from title defects. As an independently owned and operated full-service title company, we specialize in all the important details. We come to where you want to close, even nights or weekends. We'll even bring fresh baked cookies. Network Title, stress-free closings since 1993. Work with a company that puts you first. For details, go to network-title.com or give us a call at 651-482-9514.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be mostly sunny with a high near 61. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 36. Monday, mostly sunny with a high near 67. And Monday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 44. Tuesday will be cloudy with a high near 59 and a low around 35. Lowry Hills Meats is your neighborhood full butcher shop. Working directly with family farmers, they offer beef, lamb, goat, pork, and poultry. Sausages are made fresh and in-house weekly using 40 rotating recipes. Check them out at 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Welcome back to the House Geeks Real Estate Show on AM 950. If you have any questions for us, give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Check us out online as well at housegeeks.com and follow us on our Facebook page. Just type in House Geeks. Look for the little house and glasses. Lots of great videos up there, upcoming classes, Funny Photo Friday for a little humor. Was it you, Chad, that shared the, like, lion toilet thing?
No, I wish that was me. That was a great photo, though.
Yeah, that was pretty classy. I like that. Was that you, Renee?
Multiple responses asking if that was the Commander-in-Chief's actual restroom.
Yeah, check it out on our Facebook page. We talked about scope of knowledge real quick about when researching real estate agents, and today's topic is discussing how to build out your real estate team. I do want to get off the agent piece of it and move on to loan officer, but just last thing is conditional awareness. And what I mean by this is an agent that at least has the common sense to walk up and say, you know, look and see some conditional deficiencies and point them out. You know, whatever that might be. Oh, shingles are curled. Looks like the roof might need to be replaced. Or, you know, yeah, the windows have the seals broken on them, and that's going to come up in inspection and things like that. I mean, that's pretty visual. Anybody who's been out there doing it any sort of period of time should be relatively, in my opinion, basic knowledge.
Yeah, there's things wrong with every home on the market, even brand new homes. So every agent should be finding a couple things wrong with any particular home that you're going into.
Yeah, points of awareness. I mean, exactly. When you come up to new construction, oh, I see that the slab has some cracks in it. Why? I mean, can that be very common in a new home? Yeah, it actually can. Yeah. You know, it depends on how they prepare. But is it something that's could be a sign of a bigger problem, like bad soil conditions underneath or something along those lines? Just basic conditional awareness and the willingness to point that out. So moving on, getting into loan officers and putting together that piece of the team. So basically, you have, a few different types of lending institutions. We're going to touch on the basic ones. So you kind of have your credit unions or smaller local banks. A lot of times these are a lot more like correspondent lenders, but not always. So a question you want to ask is, are you holding these notes in house? And there can be advantages to that, especially in the jumbo market. Right now we're seeing advantages to the portfolio lending within the smaller banks, but is a lot of people will go to their small bank going, oh, I want to get my mortgage with them because I use them as my bank. Well, are they just selling off the loan and you're never going to be able to?
More than likely, they
right,
are.
Right. Now, some do have in-house lending, so that's something to check in on. Then you have brokerages. They're basically, shopping all sorts of different mortgage options on the, conventional or FHA market across the board. So, it's funny because I've seen where the brokers or the correspondent lenders can actually get a better rate on the loan than what you can get just going directly to that bigger bank.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So think of it like the Expedia, where if you go to their website, sometimes you can get a better price than going right to the airline's website.
Or going to Best Buy. Sometimes Best Buy has a better deal than Verizon or T-Mobile does.
Right. So, it's looking at it that I personally would much rather go the route of the correspondent lender or the broker than direct to the bank if pricing is your main concern. I get it when we're talking service differential sometimes that you're dealing with your little local bank and you have a great relationship with, especially if they're holding the notes in-house, that you may get that hand-holding service that you wouldn't get anywhere else, right? Because you know the people, you have a lifelong relationship. But if we're talking about most of the general public and you're looking at where am I going to get my best value, I look that route.
Well, and that goes to, I actually just met with a mortgage broker to see if he would be a good fit as far as a referral. He had a lot of experience with kind of your basic loan options, conventional FHA, DVA. He had experience with new construction, jumbo loans. He had kind of touched on all of the possible options in his career. So that's very helpful when you're in a situation where maybe your credit score is borderline or you just have a unique financial situation. Mortgage brokers tend to be more creative when it comes to problem solving and getting you qualified because they have broader knowledge base.
Well, yeah, they're not trying to fit you in this little box that the bank tells them.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. They have lots of boxes they can look at with lots of banks to try to make it work. That kind of leads to the big banks, right? And then it goes back to the boxes that you have these much larger lenders that can have really good pricing depending. You really need to fit in that box perfectly. Mm-hmm. So if you're like, I would say 70% of the public out there, that usually that's not going to be the route to go, or that could be even larger percentage to utilize those correspondent. I would say no matter what, because the correspondent lenders can ultimately use the bigger bank, and if that bigger bank is your bank of choice, you can at least see a comparison between the two without going to many people. They can pull, mm-hmm. they can pull both of them. I look for, somebody you can meet in person. If you have a problem where you need to drop something off or whatever it might be, you know where they're going to be at. So you can swing by and lay it on their desk, whatever, talk in person. I think that is a huge piece to accountability, you know. No 1-800 phone numbers. That if your person, if your loan officer is a 1-800 number and an extension and many, many states away, do you think they're going to be available after 5 p.m. to write you a pre-approval letter on this property that's multiple offers and everything's due by 10? No, they aren't. And you lost that house.
And listing agents are starting to feel prickly about encouraging their clients to accept offers from some of the really large lenders and some of the national lenders with the 1-800 numbers.
Yep.
I've actually had listing agents ask me if my client would be willing to get pre-approved by another lender that's more local.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, on the customer service end, that was always one of my biggest concerns with some of the bigger lenders. I have seen that nationwide, the online stuff, I have heard that Quicken is getting better with that, because I think they're introducing local agents or something to help with that.
And to clarify, if some people are not going to understand this, the reason why that can come up as an issue is just because you're pre-approved doesn't mean that's where financing ends. Mm-hmm. You can go through inspection and, you know, you have a set date for closing and then financing falls through. And if certain companies have a reputation for that falling through before closing date, that's where realtors get prickly and would like you for you to get pre-qualified somewhere else.
Well, and that's a great, you know, great point to that. You know, how often do we see your pre-approved for up to blah shows up in the mail, you know, without ever running anything? Mm-hmm. So how good is that pre-approval? You don't know if that buyer's been underwritten. And that's another thing. When you're out there, does somebody have the ability to pre-underwrite and take those extra steps to make you as strong a buyer as possible? So you want to make sure you have a good loan officer that's going to be available for you after hours, is going to take the time, kind of a lot of those same things we talked about with the real estate agent. You know, look at their reviews, you know. I always talk about Zillow. Is, in my opinion, it's a great research tool and sometimes not always the best search tool. But for researching agents and loan officers and all that, it's a wonderful option out there.
Yeah, Zillow actually goes through it to make sure that every one of those reviews is a real person and a real client. I've actually had real reviews from real clients get denied for one reason or another. Maybe we're friends on Facebook. I don't know what the reason is, but I've had real reviews denied, which I actually like, because then I know people aren't just jamming all kinds of.
Well, yeah, I mean, what always worries me is if you're typing in mortgage reviews or agent reviews or whatever reviews, and if the first thing pops up 5-star and the little thing below it says ad.
Yes.
Right?
Then
it's paid for. You know, what you need to look at is the non-paid, like what, consumer affairs, I think is a good for like larger banks. And, you know, and just, you know, type in big bank and mortgage reviews and look at what shows up.
Exactly. Look through the first page or two as well.
And I'm not
make sure they're not paid for.
You know, and I'm going to say, you know, it's not that I have a problem with every big bank out there and every loan officer. There's great loan officers at some of those banks that I've worked with. But the key is making sure you find the right one who's going to make sure that everything is done correctly and can then project that confidence onto the listing agent.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Talk a little bit about title companies. You know, this, a lot of people look at the real estate agent as the marshal, the transaction and the glue, the main point of contact, which the agent should be, making sure that everything is happening. But a really, really good title company is going to facilitate that agent drastically in the ability to do that, because after the offer is made, they're kind of the one putting everything together, from the loan officer, from the agent, from the, if it's, there's a, you know, truth in housing inspection, from the inspectors and whatnot.
I'm from actually the county.
Yep. From the county, state, all of that stuff. They juggle that and arrange the closing and closing time and provide you all the final numbers typically to close, you know. One of the questions I get most often, you know, you get a property under contract, you've cleared inspection, the next thing is, how much do I need to bring to closing? Right? Well, that's the title company that provides that. So
in conjunction with the loan office.
Yes. And the contracts that we write. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's having a good title company is going to make that train keep moving. I know when we've had the title people in here from Network that I told a story about, you know, a few days before closing, I'm looking down at my calendar going, huh, I'm supposed to have a closing in 2 days and I'm not seeing it on my schedule. Well, Network wasn't closing it. It was some other company that the seller wanted to use and I hadn't heard. When closing was going to be, and nor did they. So, you know, that's not helping facilitate the transaction very well, moving things along, because it is kind of that their responsibility to schedule that up with the parties. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Attention real estate agents and homeowners. Did you know that even in a strong market, you can increase your sale price and shorten your time on the market? Check out Summit Staging today and see how many of their staged listings sell for thousands of dollars more than the other comparable homes in the area. With a pay only if it sells pricing, you have nothing to lose. Visit them online at summitstagingllc.com. That's summitstagingllc.com.
Hi, friends. I've been talking to you about Minnesota's first green cemetery, Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's an entirely new way of looking at our last earthly step. Burials are designed to have as little impact on the environment as possible, for many of us a continuation of the commitment we made during our lifetimes. Let me suggest you go to the website mngreengraves.com. Explore what it is. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's a lovely place, a peaceful place. Minnesota's first green cemetery.
Real estate is one of the biggest financial transactions most people ever make, so keep informed. Tune in each week as Bricks Real Estate presents the Twin Cities Real Estate Show, Sundays starting at noon. Kirk Duckwall, Chad Vandelot, and Brian Durham, the House Geeks, will keep you up to date with industry-leading guests, stats, and local market trends. Again, you can catch them Sundays starting at noon on this station or online anytime through the House Geeks Facebook page.
It's time to fire up Minnesota with a smoking hot grill from Warner's Deli. Finally, it's Grill Expo this Sunday, noon to 4. Gas, charcoal, pellet, and smoker grills are fired up so you can witness their awesomeness. Choose your favorite and buy at Warner's Deli's lowest price of the year. Then get free assembly, free delivery and recycling, 18 months zero interest financing, and 3 free products from no-name butcher quality meats and seafood. Don't miss Grill Expo, noon to 4 Sunday at Warner's Deli.
Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is a perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy Center event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates available, located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Is it time to downsize but don't know where to start? Give the House Geeks with Bricks Real Estate a call. We're experienced in making this process as easy as possible. Whether it is help with pricing your home, assistance in finding movers, or any of the other professionals you might need to get your home sold, we're here for you. Take the worry away by giving us a call today at 612-207-5388. That's 612-207-5388, or online anytime at housegeeks.com.
Welcome back to the House Geeks Real Estate Show on AM 950. If you have any questions for us after the show, give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Don't forget to check us out online at housegeeks.com. Download our free app, see all sorts of videos, expand your real estate knowledge, geek out on real estate, right? Mm-hmm. The smarter way to buy and sell homes. All right, so we're talking about building your real estate team. We've talked about agents, picking out loan officers and title companies. You know, kind of going back on that title company thing real quick, Chad, to one of your earlier points. You know, title should not shut their doors either at 5 o'clock, you know, and there's a lot of companies that do out there. There's no doubt about it, especially your big box title companies. What I mean is that they tend to go right along with some of these bigger companies that are out there. A lot of 5 p.m. shutdowns out there. So, you know, if there is an issue with the numbers and closing is tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, mm-hmm. there's only one person that can make sure that that gets corrected, you know, once the lender has the stuff, and that's title, you know, to make sure they can get it over to the other title company. So
I've been in closings late on Friday, and the closing extends past 5 o'clock, and there's a minor issue. And at 5:05, they call the title company, nobody there to answer it. Yep. Nobody. Yeah. Call the cell phone rolls right over to voicemail. 5 o'clock on the button on Friday. What does that mean? Sometimes it means the buyers don't get the keys and the sellers don't get the money, which means that now you're waiting until Monday. So where's the truck with all of the buyer's belongings in? You know, that might be parked out front of a house for a couple days.
In Minnesota, we have the Minnesota Friday, which is really Thursday at 3 p.m. you know, during the summer.
Yes, yes.
Going to the cabin.
And that's one of the reasons I've been scheduling closings on Thursday now instead of Friday.
Yeah.
Take Friday off, take a partial day on Thursday, you know, do the majority of your work on Friday, but then you have a buffer day in between should there be some unforeseeable reason why it gets delayed a little bit.
So let's talk about inspectors. We only have a few minutes left. I want to make sure we touch on everybody in the team. So inspectors, this is one where don't be cheap. And I have no problem drilling that. We talked about it in the mm-hmm. class we just did. Don't be cheap when it comes to getting a home inspection. And for sellers out there, doing pre-inspections, not a bad idea.
In certain cases.
Yeah, especially in the market, the way that it's moving. To be able to have a fully you know, printed off inspection ready for a buyer to view, and maybe you even had some items that did get flagged. And keep this in mind as sellers. An inspector that finds an issue in a pre-inspection, you want to know about that, because if you don't know about it then and the buyer does their inspection, then they're going to know about it before you, which means they're going to come out with their resolution and their costs and all of that. Mm-hmm. If you do the pre-inspection, you can figure out a lot of things ahead of time. So once again, even when getting ready for a listing, talk to the agent about who they recommend as good inspectors, or do your research, you know, and find some places. You know, sometimes people will say, oh, geez, should I get inspector advice from a realtor that, you know, they're going to just want to push the transaction through? Okay, well, you know, I'm not saying that there aren't agents out there that might think like that, but those are what I call single transaction agents, because if they do that to you, they will probably never get a referral from you. You want an inspector. Mm-hmm. I want an inspector that's going to find the problems, buying or selling side of it, so that way they can get corrected, everybody can be happy, and they get done. So inspectors, don't be cheap with it, especially, you know, buyers, your uncle who is a contractor, your aunt who is an engineer, your buddy who's a handyman, they are not home inspectors. They do not have a list. They're not going to crawl up into the attic and be pulling insulation away or looking around to check wiring, walking all over the place, getting dirty, opening up furnaces, you name it, crawling through crawl spaces for you on your inspection. They're going to walk around with 20 minutes. And
see, looks good.
Oh, you know, this outlet's got a little scorching over here. Oh, I popped the attic thing, looked up, I saw a water stain. That's not really figuring out the problems. A home inspector is going to spend 4 hours in a house typically if they're doing a full-blown inspection. So you want to make sure that that's getting done for you. Stagers and photographers. Okay, first of all, if you ask the question of your real estate agent who does your photography and they go, oh, I do, I cover my own photography. Well, you know what? I know a lot of people that do their own plumbing or a lot of people that do their own auto mechanic work, and they seem to always have problems with the work that they do. A real estate photographer is that. They understand the angles, the lighting, how it needs to look. I'm not a real estate photographer. You know, I know that.
I have about $4,000 worth of photography equipment. I have a nice camera. I have multiple nice lenses, but I take pictures of my kids and plants and bugs. I don't understand real estate photography like a real estate photographer does.
And I think, Renee, you would agree with that, hands down, being that that's the background you came from.
Yes.
You know?
Unlike many other types of photography, real estate photography is highly skilled and specific. You can learn by Googling how to shoot food or product or portraits, and it can come out looking really nice. With real estate photography, it's completely different. You can't just Google it and understand what you need to do, what you need
to have.
Well,
it's not a studio. You know, you're not able to set the lighting perfectly on a table that you could do with the...
Well, even lighting, most people don't understand. Yeah, lighting, right. You know, you can't just walk in and do it. It doesn't matter if you have a $10,000 camera. That's not going to get you a good real estate photo if you don't know how to shoot real estate.
Right. Yep. It's photography, and it's such a critical piece. It is the face of your property.
Well, Kirk, houses are selling really quickly. Are the photos really a big deal in a market where everything decent sells?
Well, I mean, I can sell a Ferrari with bad pictures for $500 too. Does that mean I'm getting all the value that I could out of it?
Exactly.
Right. So
the photos are the first showing. When people decide they want to see a house, it's because they already like it. The reason they already like it is because of the photos that are being presented online. If you're not attracting as many people as possible in the shortest period of time, the price is going to suffer.
Real quick, want to touch on the staging aspect of it to go along with the photography. You know, if you're looking to sell, having somebody that can assist with the staging process, whether that's assisting with staging with existing furniture or staging with, you know, vacant, that is very, very important because it brings that perspective in to those photos. You know, we did a great video, top 5 tips to get the most money for your home. Go to our housegeeks.com website. You can pull it up there. You can see there an example of staging, bringing perspective to a room. So it is really, really, really important. We're talking about 10, 15, kid you not, 20% spreads in poorly presented homes to very well presented homes. If you do not believe me, you can reach us at 612-207-5388, and I'm happy to show you many, many examples of where this is the case. I've taken over listings that were expired listings, and all I did was stage them and reshoot and put it back on for the same price and sold the home within a couple days.
Also, if you do not believe him, you can go to grayduckstaging.com and click on home staging and see some actual stats from the National Association of Realtors.
Awesome. All right. Well, hope you enjoyed the show. If you have questions for us, again, 612-207-5388. We'll be back next week.